This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy, welcome in. It's the Thursday edition of Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always check out the show, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Round one of the Masters is in the books. We will look for adjustments in round two. Throughout the show tonight, you will hear from Rory McIlroy, Patrick Reed, John Rahm, and more over the course of the next 3 hours. Plus, we'll hit a little Major League Baseball, NBA, and more, as there's plenty of bets to place. Now, are those bets going to hit? That is the question that you have to ask yourself. And the question I want you to answer at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live. I threw this on my Twitter earlier at Dustin Sweetelson. We got a really fun round one of the Masters. The storylines are there. Rory doing what he did, tied for the lead at the end of the first round after what he experienced just a year ago, winning his first Masters, the career Grand Slam. Rory is in the mix officially. Scotty looks like he is in the mix as well. I'm talking about Scheffler, not Pippen, by the way, in case you were wondering. My question is, what is the foursome you want to be in contention on Sunday at the Masters that is the ultimate watch for you as a sports fan? I got Rory. I got Scotty. My next two, they may surprise you. I'll share them later on in the show, but you tell me at Dustin Sweetelson and at VSiN Live. We have a couple of games going on right now in our window that I need to update you on. Now, what do they mean? Unfortunately, not all that much in the NBA. The Lakers and the Warriors going at it as hard as they can, as Steph Curry is not playing in this game, Porzingis is not playing in this game, and the Warriors are very much resting their best players here, as you've got Golden State currently in the 10 seed, and they cannot fall out of that 10 seed before the play-in tournament. The Lakers are the 5th seed, and it doesn't look like that they can move anywhere out of that 5th seed right now. So this game means nothing to these teams other than what kind of competitiveness do you have in your soul. And currently, the Lakers lead 48-43. This is a game that closed at 1.5, down from 4.5 with the Warriors laying it. The total has dropped from 221.5 to 207 and a hook. At this point at 207.5, I wouldn't touch that total, but I do think that drop is absolutely correct because these teams may take their foot off the gas towards the end of this game. And they may not be trying to score as much, looking to live to fight another day. So I wouldn't touch that aspect of this. I'd also probably lay the 4.5 with the Lakers. I think the Lakers probably have a few more scores than Golden State's going to be able to throw out there. And if LeBron's going to play most of this game, he kind of has to without Luka and Austin Reeves. But if he's going to play most of this game, I do think the Lakers end up covering that number, even though you're getting a very drastic difference from where this game closed at 1.5. I still like the Lakers, who are now at 51-43. And, ooh, breaking news, DeAndre Ayton caught a basketball, caught the pass, went to put it in and missed the shot, however, got his put back and dunked it home. So he pads his stats with a little rebound and a score on one play. 117 to go in the first half here as we close this thing out. And I do think Golden State just doesn't have the ponies to run the race, as LeBron's got 16-3-2, but that's assuming LeBron plays a lot in the second half. We are sweating out a couple plays. We're on Luke Kennard over 14.5 points. He has 7 with a minute to go in the first half. On the other side, we have Brandon Pajemski, and that is not going well. We went over rebounds and assists at 9.5. He's got 0. He's also 0-for-4 from 3. He has 6 points in the game, 3-of-10 from the field. So that is not looking optimistic. I am a glutton for punishment with these NBA bets. We are currently, 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the night with the NBA bets, with these two pending. And based on the way this is going, it doesn't appear it's going to be a banner night for your boy in the association. One game going on in Major League Baseball that I think is worth monitoring here, and it's the Rockies and the Padres knotted up at ones in the 5th inning. One out, San Diego at the dish, and they're minus 230. I was hoping we can get a little bit of discount here on them. Colorado's plus 159, okay? The Rockies are plus 159. The in-game total's 5.5. I really like the San Diego bullpen. And Colorado played this smartly. They threw Jimmy Hergert to start things out. They followed him up. by throwing Chase Dollander, their big prospect from a year ago. And now he's in the game pitching for Colorado, 3 2/3, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 2 strikeouts for him. How about Randy Vasquez, a guy we highlighted on the Wednesday show? He's been tremendous, man, this year, and it continues. 5 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts for him. And I have to imagine he's going to come back out for the 6th here. Really, really good start for him to begin 2026. A guy that I really never considered to have much, you know, exceptional stuff, but he's been really, really strong. And I'm intrigued by what he's going to be for San Diego at least every 5th day. I don't really buy into the Padres as a team that really scares me or that I want to follow to make the postseason. But Randy Vasquez, absolutely serviceable, better than serviceable right now. I want a discount on San Diego. I can't go run line -1.5 with a home team at +194, especially when we're more than halfway home and we only have one run in the game. They need to score 2, and that might come in the 9th. I really want to take the -211, but I hate laying heavy, heavy juice like that on an in-game bet. So maybe we hope for Colorado to score here. And then if Colorado scores, we come back the other way. I do have a little bit on Gavin Sheets to hit a ding-dong in this one at over 5-1, but not a lot of big, splashy power swinging at-bats from these guys right now. We got a 1-1 game as we are in the 5th inning. In that contest. All right, fun show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk a little NFL draft, where a market continues to move as far as the number 2 pick is concerned. We gave out a play that has also moved way in our favor. But now we have to look, step back and say, okay, what are the other opportunities as far as the draft is concerned? There's a position that I think makes a lot of sense to bet on right now. And we have news about the first offensive lineman taken. So all of that coming your way later on this hour in the show. In about 24 minutes, Eric Casilius will be with us, handicapper, his thoughts on the Masters round 1, looking ahead to what's to come up in other sports like the NBA in the next couple weeks here with the postseason upon us. Then we'll go to Gary McCord, top of the next hour. I'm looking forward to that conversation. He is not shy with the opinions. He is someone who's covered the game of golf for a very long time here. And I want to know what he thinks of what Rory's done in round 1. Is this something he can replicate? Because what Rory McIlroy did at the Masters today was essentially utilize his ability to know the course, utilize his experience to overcome some failures. And I don't know if that's something that we can bank on going into Friday's round, because he didn't hit fairways today, okay? I believe he only hit 5 fairways in round 1, but was still able to tie for the lead going into the 2nd day of action at Augusta National. He was able to do that because he was great with his irons. He was great with his putter. And he was able to overcome the mistakes he previously made. Is that just his ability? Is that something we can rely on? Or is that something that will come back the other way as this tournament continues to go on? We will ask Gary McCord about that coming up here in about 1 hour. Our buddy Eric Cohen, Sportsline handicapper, golf analyst specifically. I actually think he liked Rory coming into the event. We'll get his thoughts on how things went in round 1. And then at 1 a.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m. on the West Coast, Zach Harper's going to join us, SiriusXM NBA radio host, The Athletic writer, get the lowdown on what we should expect and anticipate as the postseason is just about here for the NBA. Earlier today, in case you missed it, in Major League Baseball, we had a few games finish up right before we hit the air. So for starters, it was the Diamondbacks coming back to beat the Mets. How about this? 7-1. As Nolan McClain was tremendous for the Metsies, unfortunately, he hands the ball off to Luke Weaver, who allows 2 earned runs in 2/3 of an inning. Then Luis Garcia comes in and allows 3 earned runs, and the Mets bullpen completely implodes, having a 1-run lead in the 7th inning. McClain, 6 1/3, 2 earned, 8 strikeouts for him. Eduardo Rodriguez, who I thought the Mets were going to knock around, he was great. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts. As Luis Robert hit his 2nd home run for the Mets, dude, that guy's got a very pure power swing. It's kind of effortless. If he can stay healthy and put it together, he's a really, really fun weapon to have in the Mets lineup, but doesn't help when the bullpen's blowing leads like this. In case you missed it, also earlier in the night, the White Sox shut out the Royals on the road. That jumps out to me just because the ball was jumping out of Kauffman Field with those fences moved in this year to start the season, and then the scoring is stopped, and Kansas City wasn't able to do anything against Anthony Kay. Anthony Kay is like a throw-in swingman, 5-starter. Five and two thirds, three hits, six strikeouts for him. Seth Lugo was fine. Six and a third, one earned, four strikeouts, four walks, four hits allowed for Lugo, the righty for the Royals, but just not enough offense there. That is the exact opposite of what this team was anticipating coming into the year, thinking we move the fences in. We have young guys like Caglione and Carter Jensen who are going to add a little more oomph to this lineup. That's not the case right there. Unfortunately, Kansas City shut out at home. And as we head into the weekend of baseball, it's worth noting Detroit was swept by Minnesota earlier today, 3-1. That's a four-game sweep, too. It's not just a three-game sweep. Four-game sweep. Minnesota takes care of business. The Tigers took 2 of 3 from St. Louis. They were swept at Arizona, and they took 2 of 3 from San Diego to start the year. They're in last place in the AL Central right now. They're 22nd in ERA. They're 24th in Ks, and the last few games, the offense has not shown up at all. I'm not necessarily as concerned about that as I am concerned about Seattle, who Seattle's last place in the West right now, 30th in average, 30th in OPS, 29th in runs, because I think the Seattle issue is they just don't have power in the lineup. They let Suarez walk, and they don't have guys that you can rely on to consistently hit the ball over the fence. For Detroit, I think they're victim of circumstance, victim of playing in the Midwest where the weather's bad, it's very cold. Now, traditionally, that does favor pitchers, and I'd say the other offenses, specifically Minnesota, they hit the ball pretty well off Skubal the other day and Framber yesterday. So maybe it's a Detroit issue, but I'm gonna chalk it up to more of the weather. Right now on VSiN.com, completely free, no subscription needed, you can access MLB and NBA prop projections powered by Opta AI, plus real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Pro-level tools, zero cost, but only for a limited time. Head to VSiN.com and start using them today. That's VSIN.com.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're in on the Padres in game, minus 145. Welcome back in. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. 1-1, sixth inning, top of the sixth, that is. Randy Vasquez, who's been exemplary on the hill. A little bit of trouble now. Leadoff runner is on base, and he just got a strikeout. That is massive for us because now a ground ball can get us out of this inning. Number has jumped up to minus 176, but I went minus 145 with San Diego here. They just have more arms ready for this style of a game, right? If you're going to go deeper into the bullpen, you're going to have to use more arms. I do think they're better suited for this, obviously, because they've invested in their bullpen. And Colorado is Colorado. They're just throwing guys out there that they've developed in their own system. They're not really going out, targeting guys, and paying them money to come play at Coors Field. So right now, good spot for us laying the 145 right before we came back from break with the Padres. 1-1 game, but we're not out of this. You got TJ Rumfield, the kid they just called up, Colorado. He's at the dish with a runner on first and one swing of the bat. I mean, this could be a totally different ball game here. So I'll keep you posted on that as it develops throughout the night. Over in the NBA, you got the Lakers on top of the Warriors at halftime. 53-49 is the score. 206.5 is the in-game spread. Shout out to Fenhouse here who corrected me. I don't know what Fenhouse is doing back there today. He's kind of a jack of all trades, whether he's TDing or on audio. He did point out Lakers can move from the 3 to the 5 seed depending on how things finish out this year. So they have something to play for. With that, I said I liked the Lakers here, even though they're depleted without Reeves. They don't have Luka. LeBron's still in the game. And if LeBron plays this game, I think they can cover this number. So let's lay the 4.5 in game and hope Los Angeles takes care of business. Because you look at what Golden State's throwing out there right now. It's just nothing to write home about. There's no Steph Curry. There is no Porzingis. Draymond has 0 points. Way to contribute, buddy. Thanks for coming. D'Anthony Melton, Nate Williams. I don't know who that is. Pat Spencer, Brandon Pajemski. I mean, the last two, they're filing your taxes for you. You feel good about the thing, but not necessarily playing 35 minutes in an NBA game. And then there's dudes off the bench. I honestly, they might as well be creative players in 2K. Malevi Leons, Charles Bassey. Okay, I know L.J. Crier. I know Gary Payton II, and I know Seth Curry, but two of those are because of nepotism, not because of their own abilities, okay? So I will take the Lakers. I'm laying 4.5 at halftime with them. I am on the Padres in game at minus 145. Let's get sweaty together. That was weird. Also an HR violation, but I'm here for it if you're okay with it. Anyway, things might get sweaty at the Masters. I think we're in for a good one. Maybe it's because I'm really locked in and paying attention because I have a million bets on it and I traditionally only have like two or three and I'm not a golf guy. But I have to tell you, the last few years, the weather hasn't looked great at Augusta. Today, it couldn't be more picture perfect. The greenest green I've ever seen. The bluest blues in the sky I've ever seen. It was absolutely perfection. It was, what's the painter? Not Rembrandt. Is it Rembrandt? It's not Rockefeller. I'm trying to, who does the landscapes? Not Bob Ross. No relation to Dave Ross, by the way. Believe me, I asked about it. Either way, you get my point. It was a beautiful scene at Augusta National, and it should be with the way they care about that course. But the big story is Rory McIlroy, because we questioned, playing a clip from him yesterday on the show, what's the motivation like for a guy who just got to the mountaintop, a guy who just achieved everything that was hanging over his career, the one last piece he was looking to become an immortal in the sport, because he'd done everything else. He'd won all the other major events. Now he has the Grand Slam. Now he has the green jacket. It is the elusive, the number one. And Rory today was incredible. It was incredible to watch him navigate not having his best stuff. So the two-time, so he looks to become the first two-time winner since Tiger did it. I believe it was 01-02, but six birdies today. But what makes that impressive is that he couldn't find the fairway. Second player in the last 10 years to shoot 67 or better in one round at the Masters, despite hitting five or fewer fairways. Matsuyama in 2021 was the last Master champion to do that. Six Master champions have held at least a share of the first round lead the following year. So he won last year. He has a lead the following year. Joins Spieth, joins Olazabal, Nicklaus, Player, Palmer, and Burke Jr. to achieve that feat. Only three players have won the Masters in consecutive years. You have Woods in 01, 02 was the last one. Faldo in 89, 90, and Nicklaus in 65, 66. Now, he's not alone at the top of the leaderboard. He's tied with Sam Burns. They're both 5-under through the first round of the event. Sam Burns was awesome as well. Five-time PGA Tour winner. He dominated Amen's Corner. 20-foot birdie putt at the par 3 on the 12th. Followed up with a 50-yard third shot to 11 feet at the par 5 13th, converting again to go 2-under. So we've got a contest here at the top of the leaderboard, and I think there's some people that are going to be coming up from the bottom, from the middle, that are going to improve day two, where understanding the course, having the experience, it's round two, round three, where it shows his face as things change on the course throughout that time. Let's hear from Rory McIlroy first. A guy that I didn't think was going to be able to do this. Maybe I'll be right in the end. Maybe I'll be wrong. But he's currently your favorite at plus 245 to win this thing outright. Rory spoke with the media following round one and talked about still being nervous at the start of this thing.
No, I was nervous. I was anxious, just like I always am in that first tee. It's the first round of major season. The first round of the 16 most important rounds of the year. I'm thankful that I felt the same as I always have. I think it would be worrisome if I didn't feel that way, because it definitely still means something to me. So, I would say that I didn't hit the ball very well the first seven holes, and sometimes here that would lead me to get tentative and a little guidey, and I kept swinging, just trusting that I'm going to find it eventually, and maybe that was a little bit different.
I like that he was nervous. It means it still means something. It means it matters. It means he's got a little competitive juices flowing here. So I do think there's a chance that he can still be in the mix here. I just wonder, though, the shot making. Can you really rely on overcoming mistakes, not being able to hit the ball on the fairway consistently? At some point, you're not going to be able to pull that rabbit out of the hat over and over again at a course as difficult as this. Okay, you want to do it on a regular run-of-the-mill PGA Tour event? I understand that. But having to do that here, it feels like it's a little bit more of a difficult task. Patrick Reed shot a 69 today. We are on Patrick Reed in a bunch of different ways. 35-1 to win outright. We're also on him. Top 10 plus 220. Top 20 minus 105 for Reed. He's tied for third, 3-under, along with Jason Day and Kurt Kitayama. And Reed talked about how firm the greens were after round one earlier. We have Reed number 11.
It definitely has the teeth in it to make it really, really tough. I mean, the greens are already getting firm, crusty, and bouncy. 17 is always one of the firmest greens on the golf course, and you could tell when you're walking on it and trying to fix a ball mark. I actually broke one tee on the hole trying to fix a ball mark. So you already know it's going to get crusty. You know it's going to get fast, and you know it's going to take a lot of patience. You're going to have to hit the ball solid and put the ball in the right spots, and when you don't, you know, be patient and try to minimize errors.
We had Reed 30-1 for the first round leader, and I got to tell you, as someone who doesn't really bet golf that often, it was a bit of a rush when you're looking at the leaderboard very early on, and my man's going birdie eagle to open this thing up on such a difficult course, and it's like, okay, this is where you understand the experience matters. He won the event in 2018. He knows what to do. He knows where some of those spots are that he's looking for, even though they manipulate it a little bit differently every year. I was certainly hoping that Reed could pull it off. Unfortunately, tied for third. He's in the mix. We have him outright. Hopefully he can keep up this play here. And then the guy that we all talk about is Scottie Scheffler. Scheffler right now is absolutely squarely in the mix, despite, you know, being slightly on the outside of the guys we just mentioned, tied for sixth, two under. But you just know he's going to be consistent. You know he's going to get better as the weekend goes on. As he came into this event off of a couple weeks of rest, Scheffler met with the media after round one and talked about the challenging conditions.
I felt like I played pretty solid. There was a few putts that I felt like I made that lipped out or stayed right on the edge. But other than that, really, really a lot of good stuff. You know, I hit it nice, drove it well today. Hit some good iron shots. But you know, like you said, it got so firm. You know, late in the day, it was pretty challenging.
Yeah. What's the biggest challenge going off on a Thursday in the opening round and like the second to last group? You know, it almost feels kind of like a Saturday in contention. But you know.
Yeah, I mean, just your normal stuff. I mean, the golf course gets firmer, the greens get a little bit more chewed up. You know, typically the wind is a little bit more, which I'm not sure if it was the case today with the wind, but the greens definitely got firmer and definitely got, you know, there's just a lot of traffic on the greens with, you know, guys reading putts and doing everything they need to do in order to get ready. And so going out late is typically going to be harder than going out early, but that's just part of it. You know, I get to go a little bit earlier tomorrow, so get home, get some rest, and start over.
Well, he hit 12 of 14 fairways, and if he's going to keep improving like I think he will, I do think he's someone that we need to consider getting in on right now. We'll discuss that with our next guest, Eric Casilius, in just a moment. Baseball every day, NBA, and NHL playoffs are all coming soon. The Sharp plays, they cover it all, and they've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented, logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency is rare in the industry. When the Sharp plays moves, the sportsbooks take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they find the value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com today. Are we still getting a discount on Scottie Scheffler at 3.5-1? One of the sharpest dudes I know will break it down when we return on Cashing Out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming to you as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. And we got some positive developments for a couple in-game wagers. One, we laid 4.5 early in the second half with the Lakers against the Warriors. They're out to a 67-54 lead in the third quarter. LA's laying 9.5. Now your total is 211 and a hook. In Major League Baseball, we went -145 with the Padres in game because it looked like they were in a bit of a jam. They now have a runner on first in the sixth inning with one out, taking on Chase Dolander and the Rockies. They're now a -282 favorite. You can get Colorado at +206. In-game total is 4.5. Keep you updated on all the live action all night long. But we got to look at the Masters right now. Nobody better to talk about than our next guest. He is Eric Casilius, handicapper at Fantasy EK on X. Also, you can check him out, his super Discord at Fantasy EK. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. We have a lot to talk about. First off, though, I need to talk to you about the Masters, because as someone who's only ever driven by Augusta National, I am not welcome on that course. But I didn't do anything that they know of that has kept me out of it. I'm just not quality enough of a human being. You've been to the Masters several times. And my favorite thing now to ask people, because it does seem it's feasible that you could go to the moon if you wanted. Would you rather go to the moon or would you rather go back to the Masters?
Oh, I'm going to the Masters. First of all, when it comes to the moon, as soon as I saw The Martian with Matt Damon, I'm not going anywhere, because there's no chance of me sciencing that. I mean, I'm not growing potatoes out of nothing.
You're not digging up.
I have no ability to do that. I can walk around the Masters and obey their sort of arbitrary rules. I can leave my cell phone in the car for 3 hours. I can say please and thank you, call them patrons, and be on my way. But I am not going to the moon, because I don't know what's going to happen up there. I mean, I kind of feel like Chevy Chase, The Original Vacation. You get out of there, you look around, you go, yeah, it's great. Okay, bye. Let's get out of here. That's what we're doing.
But it lives up to all the hype. It absolutely is everything it's billed to be, and it's worth it. Worth the experience.
Okay. Yes. Look, it's like going to a great party at somebody's house where they're eccentric, but they really want you to have a good time, and the hard part's getting the invite. Yeah, the Masters is eccentric, but once you get there, it's there for you. I mean, I got a cookie. There's two cookies with peach ice cream in the middle, homemade peach ice cream. I think it was as big as my hand. I think it was $4. Like, yeah. They're not trying to gouge you. They want you to have fun. You're a guest there. Parking is free. But you got to leave your cell phone in the car. No messing around. It's like you're a guest. Act like a guest. But we're going to treat you like a guest, not like a dollar sign.
We're chatting with our buddy Eric Casilius, handicapper, radio host. You know him at Fantasy EK on X. Also his super Discord. All the information is available there. E. Casilius for that. All right, round one's in the books, man. Sam Burns, Rory McIlroy tied atop at the lead. 5 under, 67 for each of them. But the guy I think a lot of us were wondering, do we get in, do we not, is Scottie Scheffler. And he's currently the second shot on the board right behind Rory. Rory's plus 245. You can get Scheffler at 3.5 to 1. Do you believe with Scheffler tied for 6th at 2 under that there's a little bit of value still on that number?
Yeah, and I'm not one who usually plays a favorite in a golf tournament. It's just not my style. It's not the way they're squeezing the value out of that in a lot of cases. But this is sort of the exception to the rule. And you said it perfectly. I wanted to see him today. He was not going to be a pre-flop for me. He was going to be an in-game, a live wagering, which is, of course, what you do and do so well. But this is with a 4-day thing. This is sort of live in-game between days. And I looked and I said, all right, if he's 580 when we're starting the tournament, I'll take a little bit of a haircut to watch him the first day. Because if he doesn't look good, then I didn't invest anything. I'm certainly perfectly happy to get him, you know, north of 350. I took a little Scheffler today at 380 after his round, and I see it keeps dropping down, and now I'm seeing some as low as 340s in spots. But that's still, to me, a value play on a guy that is undeniably the best player here. And if he's right, you know, everybody else that you're taking is less talented and less able to win the tournament. So while it's certainly no lock, I will still take that price. That's about as low as I would go, but I will still take that price and a bet that I don't usually make on a favorite in a golf tournament.
Now, you're going to hear a lot of people say this phrase going into round two, and that's you can't win the tournament on Thursday, but you can lose it. Do you buy into that adage?
Yeah, because 99 out of 100 sports cliches are just completely lame and self-serving, because there's one that is a cliche that's the exact opposite of that. You know what I mean? But this is one of the few sports cliches that hold up. Like, you can't win the tournament the first day, but you can lose it. I mean, John Rahm's done, right? He's out. Doesn't matter. He's gone. I mean, there's a guy a lot of people like coming in. I mean, my guy, Bryson DeChambeau, he's done. It's over. He's 9 shots back today. So you can't win it. Rory could finish out of the top 10 and nobody's going to be surprised, but you can lose a golf tournament that first day, especially here. And that's why what Rory did was so impressive, because you're a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. Rory was like a pitcher that didn't have his good stuff early, but still kept getting outs until he really found his good stuff in the second half of the game. And that's what he did. First five, six holes, you could see he didn't have his good stuff, but he didn't get the bogey. He didn't make the big mistake. And then he found his stroke and got hot. And that's why he's the first round leader.
Yeah, the problem becomes for Rory for me is I'm going back and forth on him, and I don't want to double down on my take from the other day, Eric, is that I didn't know where his mentality would be coming in, you know, with the exhale winning the green jacket a year ago. But he said he had nerves today, which I think is a positive. The fact that he overcame the mistakes, but I don't know if I want to back him because everything you just said, how many times have we seen a pitcher where you're like, he keeps not having his bad stuff. Maybe you don't bet on him in that spot. That's why I don't know if I can touch him at the top of the board. I prefer with you to go with Scheffler there.
I kind of think also, and I keep giving you different analogies in different sports, but this is how I think, and I'm an analogy guy with different sports. I think the Masters, whether it be horse racing or whether it be NASCAR, you don't necessarily want to be in front that early. You want to be drafting off that guy. And I think that's kind of what you want to do. There's a lot of pressure going to bed tonight with that lead. There's a lot of eyeballs. There's pressure in every spot. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not sure that being first in this game after day one, it's a hard tournament to go wire to wire. And I don't think if I'm two shots back, I'm really all that concerned. I feel like I'm right there in the mix if I'm one of those guys that's just sitting there, you know, and I'm Patrick Reed or one of those guys. I'm like, great, this is exactly where I want to be.
Yeah, I mean, my reference point would not be sports. It'd be going to the Chinese buffet. I want to hit it light at the beginning so that plates 2, 3, and 4, I can be in my best abilities. He's Eric Casilius.
Stay away from the bread products early. They're fillers. Yes. Get away from it.
Exactly. I have a whole game plan. I'm like John Madden when it comes to planning out a buffet. Eric Casilius is our guest, sports betting analyst, handicapper, Emmy Award winner. He's done it all. At eCasilius is where you can find the Super Discord. Before I let you go, though, the Final Four, you were all over UConn, every which way to get to the championship game. You completely nailed that handicap. Ultimately, Michigan wins. Just your thoughts on how things went this March Madness overall, because you are going to be at the parade in Ann Arbor this weekend.
Yeah, I was really happy with the Final Four. I didn't really love the way the first day went of that tournament, but 6-0 against the spread in the Final Four. We clocked the national championship game every which way. We gave out UConn 25-1 at the start of the tournament and then said, we're going to hedge against them at some point in time, and did, and really, really cleaned up nicely. And I think that this was a tournament where the best team in the country won. That doesn't always happen. You know, matchups in the tournament are very important. You know, we have one bad shooting night, you go home, you can have a bad call with two teams that are reasonably close, you can get a home game essentially. But this year, it would be hard for me to hear anybody make a cogent argument that anybody but Michigan was the best team. Duke was really good until they suffered injuries. Michigan had some injuries too, but even with their injuries, Michigan was the best team, the most deserving team, and the best team won this year.
He's Eric Casilius. You can give him a follow on X at FantasyEK. Casilius for the Super Discord. Appreciate you doing this every single week, my friend. Can't wait to chat next week and enjoy the trip to Ann Arbor.
If there's a chance that I could ever win a buffet trip with you, hey, I would buy a lot of tickets into that raffle.
You know what? There's not a lot of things that I claim I'm an expert on. That is one thing I'm an expert on. Appreciate you, my friend. Have a good one. All right, hey, the NBA and NHL playoffs are almost here, and VSiN has free tools to help you bet smarter. Right now, there's no subscription needed. Head to VSiN.com and get free betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, plus free MLB and NBA prop projections, all available to you today. No sign-up is required. And if you want everything we have to offer, daily best bets, the prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and show replays, try VSiN Pro for just $9.99 for your first 30 days, or save 50% with an annual subscription. All you have to do is visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. A lot to get to over the course of the next 2 hours and 20 minutes. Gary McCord, legendary golf commentator, with us in 20 minutes on the show. But when we return, a lot of shifting in the NFL draft market. We hit something where the number has moved in our favor, but I'm not so sure it's done moving. I'll tell you what that is coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cash. Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rolling along on a Thursday night, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and you're locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Some live action for us tonight where we've got some sweats going on. I mean, not just sweats because of my diet, but actually because of the bets. The Lakers lead the Warriors 79-67. We laid 4.5 in-game with the Lake Show, so they are looking pretty good right now. Current in-game number has them laying 9.5, total 205.5. In Major League Baseball, we're on an in-game play. Got a little discount on the Padres. Looked like they had a chance to score runs with runners on first and second in the sixth. Unfortunately, they didn't play either of them. It's a 1-1 game in the seventh. They're laying 253. Plus $1.88 the other way with Colorado, who's on the road. Worth noting, this game is at Petco. In-game total is 4.5. I kind of like that in-game under 4.5, but you got to pay heavy juice at minus 148. We're already paying the juice on the money line at minus 145, so not going to go there with this one. But I think the under is the direction I'd look, because San Diego's not hitting, and I think San Diego's arms are going to be able to keep Colorado at bay here, and they won't do much, and I don't anticipate there being four more runs in that game. It does. You know what? I'm just going to do it. Screw it. I talked myself into it. Maybe it's a mistake, but we're going under on this game in the seventh inning, because I mean, extra innings could screw us, right? That's always part of the issue with this stuff, is that extra innings with the runner on second to start things off, and both teams could score. You know what? It just dropped to 3.5. At 3.5, I'm not touching it. Never mind. They get out of the inning, do the Padres. We go to the bottom of the seventh inning. Tied up at ones. They're laying 283, total 207, plus 207 for Colorado. Total is 3.5. Now that juice is on the over, 3.5 at minus 154. All right, we will put that to the side. We'll do more on the Masters coming up in the next 2 hours. In 14 minutes, Gary McCord, longtime commentator on golf, will join us. Get the lowdown on what he thinks Rory's going to do with the lead in round two. Also, some bets from Eric Cohen at the bottom of the next hour. But there's a lot happening in the NFL that we have to hit, so it's time for the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
Some market movement working in our favor. So the first story we're going to look at here in the three-point stance, the number two pick odds are on the move. We hit this yesterday. We were a little late to the party, but we still got a really good number at a plus price on David Bailey to go number two overall. I think we got plus 175 or plus 185. Either way, he is now the favorite in the market at minus 120. Arvel Reese has gone from minus 2,000 to minus 110 to be the second pick in the draft. And here's what's happening here as far as this market is concerned. Arvel Reese, with a lot of speculation coming out about what he might be at the next level, people were blown away by the film, where he's got athleticism. He looks like a guy who can be an every down linebacker or have the opportunity to mix in some edge rushing. The problem is, when you're the New York Jets and you're picking at number two overall, you have to draft based on the slot that you have. Arvel Reese could very well be the best defender in this draft. By the way, I don't think that's a slam dunk. I don't think that's a lock statement. I think his teammate Sonny Styles and his teammate Caleb Downs are both in contention to be the best defender in this draft. But when you draft at number two overall, you only have those opportunities so many times. Well, you would think for the New York Jets. But only so many times. You have to draft a premium position. So for starters, you're always targeting quarterbacks. Well, after Fernando Mendoza, there isn't a quarterback worth taking number two overall. Then you have to think about left tackle. There's some good offensive linemen in this class, but the best offensive lineman's actually a guard. Plenty of guys who might be right tackles. I don't really see lock left tackles that are available. So then you look to edge rushers, and that's where we land on what the Jets need to do with the number two overall pick. Arvel Reese is not an edge rusher. He is a linebacker who happens to have edge rushing skills. Maybe one day he can project and be a Micah Parsons down the road, but that's a unique player that you're comparing him to. That's a skill set that you're going to have to develop. And if you're the Jets, there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Glenn to show improvement, to hit the ground running in year two. And you do that by getting a pass rush, right? Simplistic formula for winning in the NFL. Can you get to the quarterback? Can you protect the quarterback? Well, the premium position available is the guy who gets to the quarterback in this year's draft. David Bailey, who was plus 175, 185 yesterday, is now minus $1.20. We have nailed that completely. And here's kind of the lowdown of what's going on with Arvel Reese. Daniel Jeremiah on his podcast broke it down.
Second overall, the New York Jets select David Bailey out of Texas Tech. So I've gone back and forth on this a couple times. I think I've done 3 mock drafts. The first 2, I had him taking Bailey. Then I flipped to Reese and thought, okay, well, everything with the Jets having all those picks in 27, it doesn't feel like it's a crunch that they're trying to make the playoffs here in 26. It's pushing towards 27. Bailey's a much more polished pass rusher. Like, he's the more known commodity. Whereas with Reese, you're playing the upside game and hoping what you're going to get. It reminds me so much, and we were together, I believe, on this draft, which was the Hutchinson Trayvon Walker debate.
Yeah, what a debate.
You know, because it was Hutch is the better pass rusher right now, and you had Trayvon Walker, who's this physical freak who's not there yet, but you're hoping he's going to get there. Now, both of them have been really good pros. In that scenario, the better athlete, even though Hutch is a really good athlete, went ahead of the more polished player. That's why I was kind of leaning in that direction. But we were talking, full disclosure, before we launched here today, we're kind of hearing the same thing, that as we're coming down the home stretch here, this feels more like Bailey, bird in the hand pick.
Yeah, that was actually on Peter Schrager's podcast with Daniel Jeremiah joining him. I thought they nailed it. And David Bailey's now since moved to the top spot for the number 2 pick. How about Arvell Reese? He went on Benjamin Solak's podcast earlier, and this blew me away, and I think this helped shift this market. As he talked to Solak about his skills as a pass rusher.
Do you want to see your fastest play all year?
Yeah, let me see that. Literally, like, I didn't even have a name for what I just did.
Max speed was 18.8.
No, like, literally, like, even when I did this, I didn't even have a name for what I just did. But now that I'm working on pass rusher right now and studying everything, I'm realizing right here I showed power, which made him shoot his hands, and then that's when I threw the cross chop.
Yeah, its ability to dig those toes in there, right? Look at that shin angle. That's where your knee is. And now with your toes and your knees pointed to the quarterback, you can really flatten this thing, right? And then he gets a little bit of a hook on you to slow you down. That's the only reason this is a throwaway and not a quarterback hit here.
This was just kind of like just out the blue. Like, never really did this. I did a couple times in practice, but never really, like, perfected this move to just go out there and do it. But, yeah, just, you know, that's what this is right here, that cross chop.
Okay, he was watching film with Solak of him as an edge rusher, rushing the passer, and he just flat admitted, we never worked on this. This is not something I ever practiced for the most part. I was just making stuff up, and it was working. It's essentially what he said. You cannot draft a linebacker at number 2 overall. If there's 2 positions that have been really devalued in today's NFL – 1 is running back and 2 is linebacker, you can't do it. Arvell Reese may end up being Micah Parsons. He may end up being an edge rusher later on. You need a sure thing. David Bailey is closer to a sure thing than Arvell Reese. That's the direction the Jets have to go with the 2nd pick in the draft. Next story up here. We talked about this a little yesterday. Francis Maui-Noga, the offensive lineman from the Miami Hurricanes, got a medical recheck on his back because it was something that was an issue for him down the stretch of the season. Turns out, no real issues there. So he was your favorite at -$3 to be the first offensive lineman selected. We took a flyer on Caden Proctor at 18-1 yesterday. I don't think that's going to come to fruition now, but Maui-Noga with the clean bill of health, I do think he winds up being the first O-lineman selected. It's just a little bit differences in opinion onto who that team winds up being. I think he goes higher than expected, but I also project him more of as a right tackle, even a guard, than a left tackle at the next level. And then finally, the last story in the 3-point stance, John Harbaugh. With Dexter Lawrence asking for a trade, he was asked about another player on the team, Kayvon Thibodeau, and his future. John Harbaugh, the new head coach of the Giants, had this to say about Thibodeau and the rest of the Giants roster.
You want to talk about, like, well, is he a trade possibility? Everybody's tradable. Everybody. You know, even you're tradable, Dan. If we would get something for you, we'd trade you in a heartbeat, man. But, you know, it's not really what you focus on. You focus on the fact that we're having a day. We're talking ball. We're getting our team is coming together as a team. And the business part of it, you know, is the business part. And that kind of swirls around us. But we try to lock in on the football.
Everyone's available. That's what I want to hear from my football coach. Drain the swamp. Is that the saying? Political. I got a little political there. Drain the swamp. Get rid of everyone, John. I don't care. And I love Dexter Lawrence. I think Thibodeau is an okay, solid player there. Get value for him. Trade them all. Find your guys. Bring them in. That's why we brought you. Not to figure out how to cook with our groceries. Bring in your own groceries. Get us the ingredients, the spices that you do the best with. That's what I want to see from John Harbaugh as the head coach of the New York Football Giants. Win total is 7.5. You can get +105 on the over. I know I'm a Giants fan, but I'm bullish. Not just because I think they're going to be better, because they have a better head coach, and it's year 2 of a franchise quarterback in Jackson Dart, But let's keep in mind, they had the hardest schedule in the NFL last year. That means they will very likely have one of the easiest schedules in the league this year. Give me the Giants over 7.5, especially if John Harbaugh can finally pick the groceries. Rory McIlroy is in the lead at the Masters. Scottie Scheffler looks like he's shaking off the rust. And is there a chance someone we're not thinking about could make a push in round 2, 3, or Sunday? Well, longtime commentator on the sport of golf, Gary McCord, will break it all down when we return on Cashing Out.